This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Mike, now that you're three games in, what more do you need to see from Justin? Why not name him the starting quarterback going forward?
Because there's no need. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. There's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it and I'll announce it and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
Jeff Hathorn, everybody.
Yep.
We were tossing it around in the final segment yesterday. Who's going to ask the quarterback question? Is it going to be Brooke Pryor? She's going to get her head ripped off. Is it Tim Benz? If it's Tim Benz, Mike Tomlin, sometimes he'll play a little game with Tim. He'll make him re-ask the question because Tim will ask the long, wordy questions, and Tomlin will make him re-ask it, which I've always loved. Would it be Ashley Liotis, who may eventually find herself in the Brooke Pryor doghouse because she asks good, tough questions? Yep. Is it going to be Will Graves, who also likes to be Big J journalist? No, it's the kingpin.
Yes, it is.
It's the big dog. It's Jeffrey Hathorn. And we knew what the answer would be, didn't we? And we knew Russell Wilson was going to be in the same spot this week that he was last week. Maybe he'll ramp up over the course of the week, but he's not going to start the football game against the Indianapolis Colts. I understand why Mike Tomlin's doing what he's doing. I really do. There's no need to make a decision right now. The body of work of Justin Fields through three games is very good, but the body of work is about to grow to four games, and the body of work may well grow to five games. So there are new data points. Justin Fields, good so far, could be awful in game four, could be awful in game five. So why staple yourself to a decision? Why paint yourself into a corner? So I get it from Tomlin's standpoint, but I do want to use Mike Tomlin's words against him, Doran. Mike Tomlin, whether it was to make Justin Fields feel good at the end of training camp right before the season or whatever the reason, Tomlin did say that it was a close call. Well, if it was a close call before and one guy has suited up for you and won three straight games, all of which he's had a quarterback rating over 90, I think tie goes to the dude who's been winning for you at some point. At least that's what I think is going to happen when Russ is healthy.
Well, I think Mike Tomlin looked at it, I was like, listen, before that I asked you all questions, you know, he does that, questions. He did state that Russ is in the same position as he was last week. He will be limited in practice. So he's like, I already stated that Russ isn't probably going to play. And he said Justin Fields will be our one for, get prepared for the one opportunities. And I already told you that who's going to be our starting quarterback this week, basically. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Like, I don't need to go out there and state that somebody's the starting quarterback. You guys know who's going to be the guy right now. And whenever we get Russ healthy, then you could ask the questions that you want to ask. But for right now, you know who the guy is. Who else would it be? We had just told you that Russ is limited. But the more and more that this situation goes on, I mean, from day to day, the more and more Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback.
Yes.
Like, he's going to get better every single day. Like, even right now, whenever he's getting in there, he's probably getting some coffee. If he drinks coffee, he's going to go sit down, he's going to watch some film, he's going to go get a lift in, he's going to watch some more film, and then they're going to get ready for practice, and then they're going to watch some more film. Like, he is getting better. While Russ is rehabbing and trying to come back, he's getting the opportunities, and I don't think that kid is going to give it up, man.
No.
He's stone-faced.
Yes.
You see him.
Yes.
We all see him. Every time they pan to him on the field, like, that guy is on a mission. The more and more that he gets his opportunities, the more and more that Russ is not going to have an opportunity whenever he does get healthy. He may have an opportunity to practice, but it's going to be almost impossible, in my mind, for Russ to go in there and to prove to them that, oh, we got to sit the guy that's 6-0.
Right.
How are you going to do that? We got to sit the guy that's 5-1. How are you going to do that? How could you even tell your team that you're going to do that?
Even at 3-1, even at 4-1, I think Justin Fields has played well enough and the team has responded well enough to him that you get a mulligan. You get benefit of the doubt because even with one bad game, we're still talking about 75% of the game so far being quality enough to win. And you don't beat the Chargers if he's not dropping dots all over the place. How about this juxtaposition? You like that word? This juxtaposition. So, the quarterback the Steelers are facing this weekend, wildly inaccurate. Wildly inaccurate. Freak athlete. Down the field, pretty accurate. I mean, he can stretch the field. He's got some of the best arm strength in the league. His completion percentage is 11% below expected. Mm. Justin Fields sitting here with a completion percentage of 73%. Way higher than his career average. He had in his career been averaging over a turnover per game. He's got one interception in three games. And I keep coming back to this. I think Russell Wilson can win football games with this team. I think Mason Rudolph may have been winning football games with this team right now. I'm a believer in Russell Wilson. I'm a believer in him being pissed off for greatness. I'm a believer in him getting a raw deal in Denver. But shouldn't the tie, if you think both guys could do the same thing, go to your potential future quarterback who's a decade younger? Your son turning 10 today. There's a 10-year age gap between these guys. Mm-hmm. One guy, at best, if he wins, if he performs for you, is going to be here for 3 years. The other guy, the current starter, could be here for 10. And so even if Russ, you think Mike Tomlin is a slight upgrade over Justin Fields. Even if he's a slight upgrade, you're winning with Fields, and he could be the future. It's the most obvious choice you could ever have to make. And okay, there's going to be hurt feelings. I don't think you're splitting the locker room, though. I don't think a single player in that locker room would bat an eye if next week Mike Tomlin comes out on Tuesday and says, Russell Wilson's healthy, Justin Fields is our starter. I don't think you lose a single guy.
I think that you hit it right there, and I think that it really comes down to how much better do they think Russ is than Justin? Like, how much do they think that Russ could really go in there and make everything look different compared to Justin? That's what Arthur Smith knows. That's what Mike Tomlin knows. Like, I don't know that because I haven't seen Russ play this year. But if they feel that Russ is that big of an upgrade, then they will go to that. And also, they could also play the game, and this is a hypothetical game, but they could play the game if they really, really wanted to, and they have a lot of faith in Russ, and they have a lot of faith that Russ will hit the ground running and they won't miss a beat, that you gave Justin four games, you got your answer for the future. You don't want to run the risk of him actually getting that much better this year, where you have to pay him maybe at the end of the year a little bit more money. So it's like, hey, we got our answer. He's got film. He's got four games. Let's go to Russ, and then we'll give Justin maybe a little bridge deal at the end of the year that's not going to be substantial, and he could be the quarterback of the future.
I could see that.
That's crazy thinking, but.
Well, the first part of what you said there, if they believe that, then I could see the second part happening. If they believe Russ is significantly better than Justin Fields, then they could do that. I do happen to believe Mike Tomlin thinks that Russ is the better player. I think he thinks that,
but Justin's proving that he could be what Russ is going to bring to the table, and that's protect the ball.
Well, right.
And I think it's making it really hard for him.
Yes.
Even harder than ever.
Yes. They have to think, the collective they, in that front office, in that coaching staff, that Justin is probably light years ahead of where they thought that he would be. He's not the same player.
Nope.
And the first couple of games, game managing, I understand all that, but they did not know that he could do that. He hasn't put game manager on tape in the NFL. And in college, you're not going to be a game manager. You're going to be a darn right superstar. So he's done through three games what he's never done in his career. And to see that and then to turn your back on it, I think would be silly, unless, of course, you think Russ is that much better. But how could you think that? I think Mike Tomlin might. How about if Tomlin's opinion on Justin has changed through three games?
Justin Fields showing you some things that changed that point for you.
No question Justin has played well. That's exciting for him and for us. But I'm not surprised by that. And I hadn't looked at it in terms of the decision making because it's not time yet.
Not time to make a decision yet, Dorn. I find that part hard to believe. Mike Tomlin's a really smart guy. Mike Tomlin's a thoughtful guy. Mike Tomlin, I think, knows what the reaction to the words are going to be when they come out of his mouth. I think he thinks everything through. I am not believing for one second he doesn't know where this is going to go, one way or the other. He knows what his decision's going to be if and when Russ is healthy, and I guess I should drop the if. He will be healthy at some point.
He absolutely knows.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to run the risk of losing both guys mentally. You know, if you say something and that, and I mean, everything circulates, you're gonna see what your head coach says if you're a player, especially a quarterback. He doesn't want to run the risk of losing Russ and Russ, you know, kind of spiraling mentally. And he doesn't want to lose the confidence of Justin Fields. So it's like, yeah, he's done well, but it hasn't really brought me to the point where I have to make a decision whenever that time does come. Like, you know exactly where you want to go. You know exactly what's going to happen whenever Russ does get healthy. But winning can change that a little bit. Like, you think that you know, but if he goes out there and wins an Indy, comes back home and wins a Dallas, you know, who else they play? Raiders. I mean, winning can change all that. But for what it is right now, I think he knows what he wants to do. But it's like, hey, prove me wrong or prove me right.
I've thought a lot more about Russ too, man. Like, when he is healthy, if he is the backup quarterback, he should put on a brave face. He should be a good teammate.
He better be.
He better be, and he better know that he is going to get to play. Like, if Russell Wilson started the season as Steelers quarterback, we were always going to see Justin. And if Justin, and he has, started the season as a starting quarterback, we were always going to see Russ. That's just the nature of this thing. What is Miami on now? Their third quarterback?
Yeah.
Cleveland played five of them last year. Malik Willis up there in Green Bay.
Cincinnati last year.
Last year we saw more quarterbacks than I believe ever before. At least it was right there.
15 at one time.
Oh my Backups. God. You're gonna get to your second guy. You're probably gonna get to your third guy at some point. Russ, if you can. So what Justin has done is he's shown he can be the guy that a lot of people didn't think he could be. He was a game manager, and then this last game, he protected the football mostly and also was a catalyst for the dub. The thing that has been the knock on Russell Wilson is, can his teammates like him, or do they think he's a big phony baloney? Well, as Justin Fields is proving himself in that regard, can Russell Wilson prove, oh, I can do the thing nobody else thinks I can do, and then when your opportunity does arise, go make that decision real hard. Week 10 or something like that, Justin Fields goes down, tweaks something, he's out for a couple of weeks, Russ comes in, starts throwing for 300 yards. Make the decision real hard. That's how I would view it if I were Russell Wilson. But I got another question for you. So Russ should probably be pissed right now, unless he's the one who decided to push the sled. But let's just assume for a second it wasn't his decision and he thought he needed to do that. He should be pissed. If Justin Fields gets benched at 4-0, I think he's got more of a right to be pissed than Russell Wilson does for the blocking sled thing.
Absolutely.
Because Russ ain't ever played it down for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Justin Fields would have come out and gone 4-0.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
There's no way, right?
I think... We will spend a lot of time talking about all these quarterback things, but Mike Tomlin, not a dumb guy. Justin Fields is going to be QB1, even if he thinks, and I think that he does, that Russell Wilson's the better player. Because one guy's done it in the black and gold, one guy ain't.
He's doing it.
Yeah. Them's just the facts.
W's.
Dubs.
Dubs.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin heaping praise on one Broderick Jones bounce back performance.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I meant to tell you this yesterday, Dorm. So I was at that wedding on Saturday. Wonderful time. Tremendous couple. Fabulous experience. And my wife's uncle, Gary, great guy, comes up to me, goes, Crowley, I got you a little gift. Oh, yeah, what's that? I open it up. Speedo. For my bridge walk.
Callous.
I have a Speedo now.
Are you going to do it?
I tried it on yesterday for Leanna.
What did it look like?
Well, I'm a size 32. This thing was size 30. And the butt cheeks are, they're not contained.
Mm.
But it was what Leanna said to me that I've been thinking about all morning. Huh. And as I fell asleep last night. She said, you want to maybe stick a sock in there?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think they're designed to make it look like you're there's nothing going on down there.
Are you sure?
No.
I mean.
It's there's some.
What was that one guy from France? Remember there in the swimming to the Olympics?
Well, his they made his special.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a they had to put an extra compartment in there for that guy. I mean, that's like he's got a carry on.
I might need to compensate this picture. I might need to have Leanna give me some more content.
I did not have her take a picture. She may
Are
have.
You sure?
I'm not sure actually. Now that you mention it, but I feel like it was purposefully restrictive. So when she says you got to put a sock in there, it's going to look bad. I think a lot of people would look bad. It just it smushes. There's a smushing effect. But you should have seen. You should have seen the cheekage coming out of this thing.
Oh, man, I bet you it was rough.
Sandy cheeks.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it, though.
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Uncle Gary. I think I'm going to have to buy a bigger Speedo, though. I need more coverage. It's like that touchdown in the first quarter of the game where Joey Porter's out to lunch. There's no coverage there. Same kind of deal. No coverage on a cheek storm.
Mm. Yikes. Ooh.
It was an ew.
Yeah, ew.
I wish I hadn't seen myself in it. I looked in the mirror and I did a little spin around, like a little pirouette. Oh, God. What happened to me?
What happened?
Not that it's ever been impressive, but like, what happened to me? Speaking of impressive, Broderick Jones, Mike Tomlin, yes?
Broderick, did he bounce back into a suitable fashion?
He did, but I'm not surprised by that. Broderick has a great deal of confidence in himself, particularly for a young guy. The performance was what it was in Denver. He didn't make excuses or seek comfort. He simply acknowledged it and went back to work. And I just think when you take that approach, you really tee yourself up for the appropriate bounce back, and he did.
I thought it was a huge moment for Broderick Jones at the very start of that game when he ends Joey Bosa's day. And he said, I'm coming to be rough and tumble. Yep. I'm going to wrestle your ass to the ground. Let's go. And I thought he played mostly well all game. Didn't give up a sack. That's what we're talking about here. Because I think the Denver game, Doran, before it, a lot of people, myself absolutely included, were crushing the Steelers for their handling of the situation. But they gave him an opportunity in Denver to stave off his competition. They gave him a chance as the incumbent to say, hey, I can stake my claim on this thing. And he failed miserably. And so I think some of the blame shifted off the Steelers to, Broderick, you were given a chance and you stunk. And then he talks after the game and different people heard what they wanted to hear from him, right? It was everyone had the same clip, but people heard different things. Well, he comes out. Bosa's a good player, real good player. Gets him out of the game by being physical, then plays well the rest of the time. This is what we're talking about. That's what any good player should do, but certainly a first-round pick.
Those situations can go either way, too. It's not like it's kind of a broad situation, like, and especially on small time, where you have a bad game, you don't know when your next opportunity is going to be. It's probably going to be in practice, and you're trying to get your mind right, and then all of a sudden, bang, like you're thrusted back into that spot of being the guy. And it's like, okay, I either respond or I get complacent because now I know that I'm the guy. Like he could have got really wow. complacent in that game, saying like, okay, you know, Faltani, Troy's out for a whole year. Like this is my spot now. Like okay, like if I mess up, I ain't coming out.
Right, you're gonna put Spencer Anderson there when
right, you're not
gonna say Malu comes back. No.
Exactly. So that was very promising for Roger. I'm happy for the young man for having that response.
Yeah,
because he could have got complacent. He could have gotten his mind. He could have done the things that he did last week against Denver again and just been like, yeah, whatever. Like I'm still gonna start. No, he went out there and he took the game to the defenders. And that is very promising. I think that he might finally have the right headspace. You know, you never know. And Doug says this all the time. You never know what's going on with guys. I mean, it could be on field, could be off the field. So hopefully Broderick Jones can really, you know, jump from this game and continue to get better and get back to the Broderick Jones that we know that he can be. And that was like what he did last year. Like it was hard to have that conversation last week about Broderick, and I even threw out the scenario like he could be a trade piece at the time, and it was hard saying that because you knew you don't want to give up on a young pedigree player like that, and you just know that it's in there. And I make the analogy all the time. It's like your kid bringing home an A the first 9 weeks and then bringing home a C in that class the next 9 weeks. Like, I know that you have the A in there. Bring home an A.
Right.
Like, we know you have it in you, Broderick. Now continue to get better, and I think that he will. I'm glad that that was the response he had against the Chargers.
Me too. He's young. He's young in football sense. He's young in real life sense. It takes time for human beings to acquire maturity. Some kids, when they're young, 15-year-old, they're mature. Some people aren't. And I'm not saying that he handled this in an immature way, but he's young, and that's okay. I have no problem with you bringing up the trade thing. Not that it would matter if I did have a problem. But you didn't say, hey, if I'm Omar Khan, I'm trading Broderick Jones today. You said, if Dan Moore Jr. is healthy and Troy Faltanu's healthy, he's not going to play all right. year. And so then you've gone, he plays a little bit, half the season, his rookie season. Next year, you don't use him at all. And then he's what, going to be your starting left tackle now in year three? A guy who had barely any experience at Georgia, and now he's got barely NFL experience in a couple of seasons? Yeah, it would make sense at that point, because clearly you wouldn't have believed in him enough. So pay Dan Moore and try to figure something out with Broderick Jones. I totally understood where you were coming from, but I'm happy we're not there today because Broderick Jones played well. Now, go do it again.
Uh-huh.
Go do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, and there's going to be lumps. Good pass rushers in this league. There are strong people in this league. You're going to be lining up against every single day. You're going to have bad moments. But can he shake those off? I now have faith that he can.
Yes.
Because he was able to get through this moment. And I thought he was scathing in his review of himself last week. He was dropping F-bombs, talking about how he wasn't good enough. I wanted to kill the Steelers for rotating those guys. And I don't know if it's the smartest thing in the world. But by them putting him out there and him sucking, it gave him a chance to then bounce back from the suckage, look in the mirror, and I love that.
Love it.
Tell you about something I don't like or love. Something I actually hate, even though I don't quite care for the man. We got to get into this Rowdy Tellez situation.
Ugh.
Look, it's football season. We got a lot of time to get to. We're going to spend 99% of the show today on ball. But we got to pull apart this Rowdy Tellez contract deal when we come back. And we will.
No factor at all. Zero factor in the decision. Aware of it, certainly. You know, I'm aware of contracts that all players have. No factor at all. Zero. And no, I'm not concerned. If you're asking about optics going forward and how it affects business and things like that, no. You know, contracts are negotiated in good faith, and they live out and. We feel like we gave Rowdy, you know, lots of opportunity here this year, and he, to his credit, he fought through some difficult times earlier in the year and fought himself out of it, and had periods of success and periods of frustration, and this is just where we got to the season. Had nothing to do with where the plate appearances were lining up.
Ben Charrington saying money not a factor at all. In the DFAing of Rowdy Tellez, we now all know, unless you've been under a rock,
that had Rowdy Tellez accrued 4 more plate appearances, he would have got a $200,000 bonus, which is no small amount of money. This is a wealthy man by regular human standards, but this is not a super wealthy baseball player, and $200,000 is $200,000. So Ben Cherington says we negotiate our contracts in good faith. Here's my thing on that. Why not just give the guy 4 plate appearances, then cut him?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Good faith.
Good faith is you're so close to this, we should probably have cut you in May.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, nobody blinks. If they would have DFA'd him a month ago, nobody blinks. But when somebody that you've played, I just spit everywhere, when somebody that you have played an awful lot gets that close to a bonus, one game away
My God.
From a bonus, and you know you want to cut him because you want to give other players an opportunity, when there's 6 games left, those players will be fine if they get 5 games of an opportunity instead of 6.
Exactly.
Give the guy his plate appearances, then cut his ass. That's good faith. And they did not do that.
Unbelievable. It really is. I mean, you talk about optics.
Yep.
And that's what Cherington said. The optics of the situation. There's many optics of the situation. I mean, if you're a player out there and you're a free agent, you know that this could go down. Like, it doesn't look enticing to want to be a part of this, something like this. I even tweeted yesterday, I would hope that in a situation, I've seen this happen in the NFL, totally different sports, I get it. I've seen that guys come close and something happens and, you know, guys are 2 snaps away of getting a bonus. And then, you know, once they do leave or once they are put down or on IR, the, you know, owner or somebody comes down and hands them a check. Like, you know, you did everything that we needed you to do. You were close, and that's good faith. Here's good faith. Like, we know how close you were. We know that you were going to get it. Rowdy Tellez, you could talk about his whole year, and that's a whole other conversation. His ups and downs. But at the times, he was very good, and he helped this team. I mean, for God's sakes, the man pitched, what, 3 games?
Buddy, ain't like, that the truth, too?
Talk about good faith. Like, I mean, you know, like... Like, I don't, like, it is.
You
it
think
is,
3 innings worth of pitching is worth 4 plate appearances? I mean, I sure as hell do.
I don't, like, this situation is significant because of many things. And I think the whole 30,000 foot view is the most significant part of it. It's not about Rowdy Tellez for everybody out there. Well, Rowdy Tellez stinks. He doesn't deserve it. Well, you know, it was part of his contract and he was that close, so he should probably get that. Whenever you're thinking, you're heading, you got 6 games left. Oh, I need 4 plate appearances. I'm going to get that $200,000. It's a part of my contract. I should get that. And you could argue on the backside, well, he didn't get it because, you know, the Pirates, you know, he didn't get there. So the contract's a contract. But it's not about Rowdy Tellez.
It really has nothing to do with Rowdy. You're right about that. I've seen now a number of people that I like that are very good at their jobs, Donnie Football being one of them, Alan Saunders being one of them, you know, now come out and say they've heard Rowdy, not a great teammate. Now, I've heard the same thing. I have. So the frig what? That's not what this is about.
Mm-mm.
This is about penny pinching. This is about whether it's ownership, whether it's the general manager acting in the opposite of good faith. That's the issue here.
Yes.
I don't care if the guy is Jeff Kent. I don't care if he's got the demeanor of Barry Bonds. You're 4 plate appearances away from getting $200,000, and there's 6 games left in the season. And you, frankly, as an organization, have to be smarter than this, too, because you know what it looks like.
Exactly. And that to me, is a big part.
Right.
The perception of it.
Right. I have argued a lot, like, when media members, they'll say something and then get quote-unquote canceled, and people will debate the merits of whether or not the thing that they said should have gotten them canceled. And for me, I always put it back on the trained media professional who doesn't think through the thing that they're about to say. Because I know in school, journalism school, I was required to take PR classes. Like, you should know what you can say and what you can't say. So in this instance, you know how the Pirates are viewed. Rightly or wrongly, and probably rightly, you know how they are viewed in instances such as this? Let them get 4 more plate appearances, because I ask, is it worth it? No. There was like 6 people at the game last night.
Right.
I watched the Penguins preseason game on
Sportsnet Plus, where they didn't even have the audio on for the first 10 minutes of the game. It looked seriously like there were more people at the barn for a meaningless game in hockey than there were at the ballpark last night watching the Pirates. Perception has a lot to do with it. So whether or not it was the real reason or not the real reason, that doesn't even matter.
No.
Are you stupid is the question, because you knew it was going to get out. And then you ask this, how did it get out? Well, I'm guessing Rowdy's agent said, hey, guys.
Look at this. Right.
Look at this. I've been pitching. Maybe
Rowdy's agent probably has other players too. So if you're another player out there and you see this situation now that it's out there, and Rowdy probably talks to a lot of players around the league. He's played for multiple teams. And if you're a free agent and Pittsburgh comes a knocking and says, like, hey, like this is the big 30,000 foot view that I'm talking about, is that it's not about Rowdy Tellez. It's the faith of, hey, we take care of our guys here. This is an enticing spot. Do you want to come and play around Paul Skeens? Like, that's the selling. That's what you can sell right now whenever you're a team that didn't make the playoffs for how many years. That's what you can sell. Like, you actually have that. Now, that just throws everything away. Like, what is enticing about coming here?
Man, you're right about that, because the guys that they've acquired in, well, forever, really, are guys like Rowdy Tellez, bounce back players, players whose contracts aren't going to pay out a ton of money in pure salary. There's going to have to be incentives.
Yes.
And so, okay, you're a player of Rowdy Tellez's caliber, and you're getting, you know, a few million in change, and maybe, I don't know, the Marlins offer a few million in change, and another bad team, the White Sox, offer a few million in change, even though they're like on the total end of the other end of the spectrum. And I'm thinking, okay, it's the same money everywhere. It's the same incentives everywhere. Which team do I think is going to pay out the incentives? I mean, we're not talking about a big money guy here. Like, we're talking about $200,000. This is a really bad look. Whatever it is, like, whether you believe that this is why they did it or not, the look is very bad, and you have to be smarter than that. It's $200,000. It's going to cost a lot more in the perception of your franchise.
Yep, in the long run.
Yep.
For sure.
Rowdy Tellez, by the by, three games as a pitcher, 2 2/3 innings pitched. Man, so I'm trying to do math. Always tough. So what, that's eight batters he faced. Each batter, plate appearance, that should count. I know it doesn't, that should count. Your reaction, 412-928-9370. Ben Roethlisberger, critical of one position in particular on this Steelers roster. We'll let you hear it. What did Mike Tomlin have to say about it? That's at 7 o'clock. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Here's a text. This one's Rich Storm. No free agent is going to tell his agent, I don't want their $5 million, $10 million, $15 million, because these guys shorted my client $200K, I promise you. He was a minus 0.4 war player, for bleep's sake. This is assuming all things are equal. If I have an opportunity to go to a place that's going to pay me $5 million, and then another organization also willing to pay me $5 million, I'm going to look at things like winning. I'm going to think about the manager. Correct. I'm going to think about the cost of living. I'm going to think about, can I have fun in this place? Can I raise a family? All that stuff.
Correct.
Then I'm also going to think about whether or not they're going to pay me out what's in my contract.
Right.
We're talking about a tie here. Do you really think the Pirates outbid somebody for Rowdy Tellez? Maybe by a couple $100,000, maybe, but then guess what? That comes back around on the opposite end.
Mm-hmm. And outbid means that you have to bid against somebody, so there's going to be other teams. If there's a player out there that it's just the Pirates, then probably don't need that player. Like, you know, like, there's other teams that are going to be. See, even if it's a little bit less, you see the situation. Like, I'll take less so, you know, my incentive is more, and I know that I'm actually going to get my incentive.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay, I had a bad season last year, or I was injured last year, so they're not willing to pay me a ton of money, but if I hold up my end of the bargain, I'm going to wind up making more on the back end because it's going to click in my contract. That stuff happens all the time.
All the time.
In a lot of different walks of life. It's just such bad optics that I thought that they would have been smarter than this.
Man.
And maybe I just shouldn't have given them the benefit of the doubt. And hey, look, Ben Sherrington says it wasn't about the money. I'm not necessarily sure I believe that.
Well, I know the one thing that he knew the situation.
He admitted that.
He knows. He knew what was at stake.
And the classy thing to do is, okay, if we really want to get a couple of players 5 games, which, I mean, what are
that's
we talking
ridiculous.
About? We're talking about 5 games,
guys that actually
games?
Have played. Like, I mean, Peguero, I don't, has he been up this year? I don't know. It doesn't matter, but he was up last year. It's not like you're getting young guys up.
Right.
I mean, Palacios
Peguero's
has played.
Peguero's 30.
They played up here. It's not like they need the at-bats. It's not like they need, like, at the end of the year, like, you're probably going to move on from those guys next year. Like it's
even,
ridiculous.
And even if you don't, is a 6-game sample size at the end of the season.
What is that doing?
Right. It gives them a head start in spring training. Like, all of a sudden, Peguero's going to be a guy? Get the frig out of here. Ooh, come on now.
It's ridiculous.
Come on now. It's frustrating. It is. And I understand Pirates fans who are really jacked up about this. By the way, I want to correct this. I'm an idiot. He got 8 batters out, 2 2/3 innings. So he faced more guys.
Faced more, yeah.
Yeah, that's some WVU math there. So for that,
we got what you're saying.
For that, I apologize. But yeah, you get what I'm saying. Yeah. He pitched. That should click something in the dang on contract. Someone also texted in that they saw. This is great. I seen Rowdy and mostly every Pirate, including Skeens, at Shooter's Golf in August. Couldn't have been that bad of a guy. I'm sure that was one of those team building exercise deals.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a requirement.
I wonder what it says in his contract. Like, Rowdy Tellez is signing $3.2 million contract to play first base. Oh, you're going to make me play pitcher? That's not the position. That's not in my contract. So here you go. You know what? That's not good faith. Here's another contract we're going to send you in the mail.
Yeah. For me, for David Bednar not having to go out there anymore, I should be entitled to a certain amount of money here. It's like working overtime, Dorian.
Exactly.
Did you happen to see the triggers in the contract? Did you see the full thing
I
typed
did,
out?
Yeah.
This is hilarious. For those
MVP
unaware. Oh my God. If my man Rowdy Tellez was.
But why was that less?
Well, for MVP, he would have got 250. World Series MVP, he just would have got 50K.
Yeah, well, how is that less than 425 at bats?
Weird as it is to say, much more likely that Rowdy Tellez would have been World Series MVP than MVP. Like Rowdy Tellez.
Yes.
Rowdy Tellez ain't out there having a better year than Shohei Ohtani.
Exactly.
But you play a 5-game, you know, you win a World Series.
Okay, so put it this way. How is it only 250 to win the league MVP compared to 425 at bats?
I know.
So 50,000 more for MVP?
I mean, honestly, they should have said, hey, Rowdy, you know what? You're MVP, you get $10 million.
Exactly.
And why not? The funniest one to me was if Rowdy was picking it real good at first, give him $25K for the gold glove. $25,000.
Very, very odd.
All right, on to the football?
Sure.
We're on to the football. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened. I finally put my heart monitor on. It was all, you know, I had like this terrible rash. So I finally yesterday put the heart monitor back on. My doctor's been hounding me. Hey, dummy, like we need more data on you. Put your heart monitor on. So I put it on, and I forgot the actual monitor this morning.
So you just put like the sticky part on.
I put the sticky part on. I got this deal on there. I got the thing on, but I'm supposed to have a phone with it that actually monitors everything, and they have to be close together or else it doesn't work. I was like 2 minutes from work today, and I remembered I was very mad at myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, Ben Roethlisberger, very critical of one position in particular on the Steelers team, what he had to say, what Mike Tomlin had to say about it. That's next, but first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.